As someone who spends my life focused on creating value for others, whether through speaking, writing, or entrepreneurship, finding the perfect gift for loved ones can feel like an impossible task. I always aim to give something that's thoughtful, high quality, and meaningful. But let's be honest, it's not always easy. This year, I found the perfect solution, Quince. Quince allows you to treat your loved ones and yourself to timeless, premium quality gifts at a price that makes sense. As someone who values efficiency and excellence, I was impressed by their approach to creating luxury without the luxury price tag. I've personally been drawn to their Mongolian cashmere sweater. It's a classic, versatile piece that fits right into my lifestyle. And if you're like me and travel a lot, their packable puffer jackets are a game changer. Lightweight, warm, and stylish, they're perfect for anyone on the go this holiday season. Quince is committed to doing the things the right way. They partner only with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And every piece they create is made with premium fabrics and finishes to give you that luxury feel. Get luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/playbook for 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/playbook. Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer, blessed to be here in Miami with a two-time offender. That's because she is an incredible entrepreneur, soon to be a four-time best-selling author of Smarter Short-Term Rentals, an expert in the STR space. Avery Carl, welcome to the Playbook.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
Well, I'm cheating with this podcast because I always say, there's a new methodology of being Napoleon Hill. You don't have to get funded by Carnegie to go travel the world, to go meet the leaders with subject matter topics and expertise. And for me, I'm always picking and choosing the people to get free lessons, a free MBA in a day. And my wife and I are blessed to have some STR properties, some luxury properties that are short-term rentals. And one of the pushbacks that we get from people is a lot of people don't differentiate the types of STRs that exist.
Right, right.
And some of the STRs are smarter and some are dumber. And we hope that every investment that we make is an investment in our community and provides service and value to the community, not necessarily relocating and changing the value by being selfish instead of selfless. Can you distinguish in smarter short-term rentals, the difference between what we do in the space comparatively to maybe what some short-sighted, more scarce people utilize short-term rentals to facilitate making money?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we focus on are true vacation rental properties in vacation markets. So we don't go into like your grandmother's neighborhood and buy properties that somebody would have been living in or buying as a first-time home buyer. We only buy, that's all right, beach houses, cabins, places that people would go to rent on vacation. So we stay only in vacation type markets. We don't go in metro or suburban markets. We only invest in and then in those vacation markets. And we only help investors buy in those vacation type markets where, you know, nobody's going to be renting a $2 million beach house long term. So we don't want to, I want to differentiate what we do from that.
And as far as an investment, I've always been involved in real estate because when I went to law school and took real estate law, I learned that all the laws in America from the inception of our Constitution were built for one reason, to protect the landowner. And so understanding how the law can be utilized in order to facilitate a better advantage in business by providing more value, tax advantages, appreciation, depreciation, asset-based lending, cash flow, protection against inflation, all of the different things that over the years have literally been put to law in order to protect the landowner. What are some of the things particular to short-term rentals that the laws, local, state, or federal, are utilized to protect the landowner with short-term rentals?
Well, the biggest one, I don't know if you ever heard of the short-term rental loophole. So if you are not a real estate professional. So if you're a high earner, like a doctor, attorney, somebody like that, you can actually utilize bonus depreciation, which is normally only available to people who are classified as real estate professionals, meaning you're a full-time real estate agent or real estate investor. But with short-term rentals, you can actually utilize that through what's called the short-term rental loophole by just meeting a certain number of hours that you spend on the property, and you're able to get that bonus depreciation that you wouldn't be able to get if you weren't a real estate professional.
Now, one of the other strategies in short-term rental is understanding holding, right? I always say there's so many flippers out there, and there's so many shows about flippers, and people ask me all the time, Dave, why are there only shows about people flipping or selling luxury properties? And I always say that stability is not shiny. Dot, 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 yawn, yawn. Like, how many of you would tune into Bravo if you were on David Meltzer's buy and hold show? I bought this, see you in 30 years when I'm super rich. That's not a very good Bravo show. But that idea of stability is not shiny, I think, applies to short-term rentals, because the stability it's provided my family and my future family and their future family is exponential in its nature. Why do so many people ignore short-term rentals or long-term holds comparatively to the flipping world of real estate?
Because it's not immediate gratification, I think. So I'm a buy and hold investor myself, not just with short-term rentals, but with everything. So we've got 250 doors across 8 states. 8 of those are short-term rentals. The rest are traditional long-terms. I've only ever sold 2 properties, and I kind of regret doing that on both of those. And so the stability is, I think a lot of investors get really caught up in, oh, I've got $200,000 worth of equity in this property. Let me sell it and go do whatever. But for me, I like to keep my equity in the properties because you never know what's going to happen. Like, we've had the worst. So my main active income is the short-term shop, which we've sold $3.5 billion worth of short-term rentals in vacation markets. But the past 2 years, we've been in the worst real estate market in the history of real estate. I don't know if you guys know that. Fewer homes were sold in 2023 and 2024 than during the Great Recession and during anything. So it's really nice to have these short-term rentals and my long-term rentals, all that income, and that we didn't over-leverage ourselves. I've seen, you know, some of our clients who bought properties, took a $500,000 HELOC, did God knows what with that money, and now they've come back to us to sell, and we can't get it sold for without them having to come out of pocket to pay back their HELOC. So I think it's really important to not over-leverage yourself. Real estate is a long-term, get-rich-slow deal. It's not a get rich quick deal. There's a lot of people that'll tell you it is, that you can quit your job on 2 properties, and you might be able to, but you really need to plan for the long term, and you have to kind of do that with scale.
And it brings up traditionally what people decipher between being rich and being wealthy. So when I was in my 20s and 30s, I was extremely rich. I was worth over $100 million, which ended up in bankruptcy, owning 33 homes in San Diego alone, a golf course, a ski mountain, a variety of things that I owned, assets that I owned, but I didn't understand the difference between being rich and being wealthy. What I learned about and utilized short-term rentals for is wealth, where my assets create more income than my expenses.
Right.
And there's a variety of different things that happen when your assets are creating more income than your expenses. What are some of the benefits of a short-term rental as far as being wealthy compared to, as we see on TV, a lot of rich people owning a lot of property?
Well, if you own a lot of property, but you're not renting it out, and again, if it doesn't, it's not renting in excess of your expenses, then you just have a liability. So for us, you know, we have several mountain houses. We live at the beach, but we have several beach houses also that are worth now 3 times what we paid for them. They generate, let's say, we have one beach house that makes $175,000 a year. I paid $650,000 for that. You can't get it for that now. This was back in 2019. But it really has, like, that one property really was a game changer for our family. Like, we started buying properties when I was making $37,000 a year in what I thought was my dream job in the music industry. And I was able to replace that income with 2 properties. Now, granted, $37,000 is like not much. If you're making $500,000, you're not going to be able to do that. But it just really, having properties that pay for themselves and also like make you income that you can go use is kind of cool. It's like, you know, that's not something that you can do with any other asset class. I can go hang out at or take the kids up to the Smoky Mountains and do Dollywood and all that when it's not rented. And it's basically a free vacation and I'm making money on it the rest of the year.
And it reminds me when I lost everything and started working to make that money back, the first big investment I made was a home on the boardwalk in San Diego, and nothing had sold in 3 years at that time. So we're coming out of 2008. Now it's 2010 and a half and nothing had sold because everybody was holding on to that property. I saw the back then VRBO, Airbnb starting to take off. And so at that time, the management of the properties were so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were taking 25-30% of the rents and they didn't have the whole world exposed to the rental. You know, it was Mission, everybody was Mission Beach marketing or whatever it is, you know, sales rental. And it didn't make economic sense to pay for more than anything's ever sold per square foot when I bought that beach house.
Mm-hmm.
And it made my wife nervous that here I hadn't learned the lessons of losing everything, that I was taking on this risky thing. And then I showed her the math and said, but we live right by here and you can manage the property and you can use this VRBO to give us exposure to all the people in Arizona. And when all these other people on the boardwalk figure it out, these properties, regardless of what the economy does, are going to go up because the value of the property is going to be equated to the income that it has.
Yeah, yeah.
And sure enough, I spent more than anyone had spent, and it's tripled the same as yours since we purchased it. But the short-term rental side, the rents have gone up about 2 times.
Yeah.
And to that measure, how do we know the math of whether a property is going to be profitable or not? Because you don't want to buy, no matter what the interest rates are, taxes, location, I don't think you want to buy a short-term rental that doesn't cash flow.
Right.
And people ignore that, though. They think it's an investment to either flip or somehow it's going to turn around.
Right. So when I started buying short-term rentals, that was in 2015. So I had to do it differently than now. Now there's lots of data companies that measure these types of things. So for me, I just had to look at, okay, what properties are, and this was in the Smokies. I'd just been on vacation there. I'm from North Mississippi, so I've vacationed in the Smokies my whole life. I'm that demographic. And what we had to look at was, okay, which of these properties, and there again, Airbnb wasn't really a big thing yet. So we had to go on these big property management companies and look at the properties that were available. Okay, well, this one seems to be really booked. What about this is attractive to investors? I mean, not to investors, to renters, and let's buy something. And we looked at a bunch of them and said, okay, well, they seem to like this. They seem to like views. They seem to like true cabins and not houses. So we need a cabin with a view. And that's what we went and found. Now there's lots of sources like AirDNA, there's Revity, there's Rabu, there's these data companies that you can look at that will give you an idea of what properties should be able to make. Now, I will say you need to use all of them. Don't just use one of them because they all pull a little bit differently and they will kind of like sometimes they'll underestimate, sometimes they'll overestimate. So what I do is I will take a look at that data, figure out like, okay, I'm going to buy a 4-bedroom. All these data companies say a 4-bedroom in this market should be able to do between this and this. You find your range. Then, after you find your range from the data companies, you do what we call the enemy method, which is how we did it back in the day, is you look at all the other 4-bedrooms in the market that are doing well, and you it's very simple. You just look at them and see what they have or what you could have to make a guest book you instead of them. So what I mean by that is, you know, not all 4-bedrooms are created equal. So some 4-bedrooms could be making $60,000 a year. Some 4-bedrooms could be making $300,000 a year. So, and the data can't tell you that. The data can tell you what, but it can't tell you why. So you have to go in and do your own research and say, okay, well, look on Airbnb and Vrbo in the neighborhood you're planning to buy. And maybe across the street, you've got a 4-bedroom that looks like a haunted house. Like the windows are broken, the paint's peeling off. Well, you know, you're going to do better than them. Your price per night is going to be higher than what is on their calendar because you're going to be taking care of your house. But if there's a 4-bedroom next door to you that has an indoor pool, a helicopter pad, you know, all these crazy things, you know, you're probably not going to be getting the price that's on their calendar, because you're not going to have all those things. So you want to use the data, but also use your common sense. I think the problem with short-term rental investors nowadays is they kind of want everything done for them. There's all these companies, you can pay them 15 grand and they'll tell you exactly what to buy and where. But at the end of the day, that's a guy sitting behind a computer that's never been to the market that you're buying in. So it's really, really important that you understand the market that you're buying in and who comes there and why and where they go there. I've had people come to me who are buying in the panhandle of Florida where I live, or who already bought and didn't ask my opinion, did not buy with a short-term shop, and they bought properties on the bay. And then they come to me and they say, hey, you're the short-term rental expert. Why am I not making money? I'm like, well, you bought on the bay. And they're like, but it's water. People come on vacation to water. Well, the bay in the panhandle is black. The water there is black. The Gulf is crystal clear like the Caribbean, and that is where the tourists go. So these people didn't take the time to understand the market and why people visit and what they visit there. They're like, oh yeah, water, cool. Let's buy on that. And then their property doesn't work. So you have to take the data, but you also have to take the time to truly understand the market that you're buying in.
And to that measure, the management of the property is one of the biggest variables that a lot of people don't pay attention to.
Huge, yes.
And having somebody to manage it, whether it's yourself and being in proximate location to a property, or as you expand, it's impossible, finding the right way to manage the property can make all the difference in the world.
As someone who spends my life focused on creating value for others, whether through speaking, writing, or entrepreneurship, finding the perfect gift for loved ones can feel like an impossible task. I always aim to give something that's thoughtful, high quality, and meaningful. But let's be honest, it's not always easy. This year, I found the perfect solution, Quince. Quince allows you to treat your loved ones and yourself to timeless, premium quality gifts at a price that makes sense. As someone who values efficiency and excellence, I was impressed by their approach to creating luxury without the luxury price tag. I've personally been drawn to their Mongolian cashmere sweater. It's a classic, versatile piece that fits right into my lifestyle. And if you're like me and travel a lot, their packable puffer jackets are a game changer. Lightweight, warm, and stylish, they're perfect for anyone on the go this holiday season. Quince is committed to doing the things the right way. They partner only with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And every piece they create is made with premium fabrics and finishes to give you that luxury feel. Get luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/playbook for a 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/playbook.
What suggestions at the short-term shop do you take when you find a good property, it cash flows correctly, has great upside, and of course you can use all the other types of economic benefits of a short-term rental, but in the end, if it's mismanaged, you could be in deep trouble. What are some of the tips that you give there?
Okay, so we at the short-term shop teach all of our clients how to self-manage. So every buyer that comes through the short-term shop in the 20 markets that we have offices, we are going to teach you how to manage your property for free, because that really is the make or break piece of it. And back in 2015, when we bought our first one, we went to look for a property manager, because that's what you did back then. And the average split was 40% of your gross. And this is our second property ever. And again, I was still making $37,000 a year. So we were like, no, we need that 40% to go buy more properties. We can't pay that. And so we figured out how to manage it ourselves remotely from Nashville, where we were living at the time. And now there's all kinds of courses on that. But self-management really is going to generate you the most cash flow. Typically now the average split for a property manager is going to be 20 to 25%. And just to give you guys like a gauge of like some context of how much that can actually be, I have 8 properties. If I had used a property manager last year, that would have cost me $250,000 for something that we have 2 VAs work part-time on for less than $50,000 a year. So, when you really do want to, you have to learn to self-manage before you can train a VA how to do it. You can say, oh, I'm going to get VAs, but if you don't know how to train them, then they're not going to do a good job either. So my first book, Short-Term Rental, Long-Term Wealth, teaches that. And the second book is going to have some more, and it's called Smarter Short-Term Rentals. It's going to have a lot more like systems and processes, standard operating procedures, things like that. But self-management really is the best option if cash flow is your goal. If you just want to have like a lifestyle asset to maybe pay for itself or put a dent in its own expenses, manager is going to be a great option for you. But if your goal is truly to make money, self-management truly is the way to go, or with a VA.
And one of the things that you taught me is a lesson that I teach in sales, which is people buy on emotion for logical reasons. And one of the things about having a short-term rental, if we can have an emotional connection while they're there, then they will continue to buy from us, but they also will sell for us. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that creates a greater successful short-term rental than someone that leaves a vacation and says, oh my God, you got to go to South Mission Beach. I stayed in the best place ever. It's right on the boardwalk and they had this, this, and this. Those subtleties of success make a huge difference. What are some of the things that you've learned to create the emotional attachment so that you actually create a community of people that are buying from you, but also selling for you?
At the end of the day, even though it's a real estate investment for you and it's supposed to be based on numbers and all that, what you're doing is giving people like the backdrop for some of the most important memories that their family may have. Kids, I read something recently that the most people's first memory that they can remember as children is a vacation they went on with their family between the ages of 5 and 10. So if you can provide them with a wonderful place to do that, which really is not that difficult, cute, clean, and comfortable, the three C's are what I try to stick to. Not, you know, getting
the
in
candy. I leave candy in my place. So the kids are like, this is the best place ever. They got all the food you can get.
Yes.
Cute, clean, comfortable. Things to your teeth. That's the secret that we use.
Coffee. Yes. That's for me. And so we use what's called a digital guidebook, which Touch Day is the brand that we use. But a lot of vacation rentals you've probably been to have a little binder on the table. So this is digital and it goes to them as soon as they book. So they know all of the things they need to know about your house, like what kind of coffee maker you have.
What's the name of that?
TouchStay. There's a few brands, but that's the one we use. TouchStay. Yeah.
I figured they want to know.
Yeah. TouchStay. And so, you know, the mom like me hauling in a 3 and a 5-year-old in the middle of the night coming off a plane and, oh crap, I've gotten the wrong kind of coffee and everybody's going to have a bad morning in the morning because it's a Keurig and I bought, you know, grounds. So it lets them know everything that they need to know about your property before they even get there. So, or before they even leave their house, it answers all the questions they could possibly have. So I think that's a huge one, is making sure their questions are answered before they even have them.
Yeah, I think in management of the property, regardless of how great of a manager there is, the emotional side is being an owner of a property that cares about providing value is when someone can't figure out the TV or they don't know where the bike is. And you get these calls while you're in the Philippines enjoying your vacation,
right,
subsidizing with the revenue that you got from your SDR,
right,
which, you know, is a whole nother aspect of it. So I think it's really important to have that communication beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the number one for us difficulty in our short term, we have great management companies, but there's a lot of wasted time, emotion, and value because they didn't find the book, they didn't read the book.
Right.
And so to have that onboarding is another great piece of advice.
Yeah.
I think they're also, remember, in the emotional side, no joke aside, in the comfort and cozy and cute, mm-hmm, you know, is providing little things that have perceived value.
Mm-hmm.
So a bottle of champagne, knowing about the clientele, even if it's not expensive, with two glasses and some strawberries,
right,
make all the difference in the world. It's that first impression. How important is the first impression online and then the first impression when they get there? Because I think the closer you carry that energy, the more successful you are. I see too many people online have this great first impression, but there's too much of a disparity between the first impression online and when you walk into the property.
Yeah. So first impression online is extremely important. You have to have pro photos. You have got to have good professional photos. I would say 9 times out of 10, when people come to me and say, hey, here's my listing, why am I not getting rented? It's because they took pictures with their iPhone. And like, yes. And they want to argue like, well, yeah, iPhones have such and such camera and it's so great, but it's like, but are you a good photographer? I am not. Yes, I can hold a nice camera, but I can't make the pictures look the way they need to look. So always, always, always spend the money on professional photography. And then in terms of when they walk in, you also want to make sure that those photos are not so edited that they give the wrong impression. They make the property look better than it is. But the first 10 seconds when somebody walks into your property are the most important. So for me, it has to smell nice. It has to smell good. And it needs to be light and bright. You know, the blinds up, natural light coming in. I think all of that really makes a big difference. But you want your property to be properly put out there on the photos. You want them to be good enough that people will click and view your property, because they're not going to read your description if they don't like that first photo and click on you. And then you also want to make sure that their first 10 seconds in is a really good experience.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people forget about smell.
Yeah.
And how important it is. And if you look historically at entrepreneurs, people like Coco Chanel that launched the number one perfume brand in Chanel number 5 actually would spray it literally years before she was launching the brand, so that people had this smell and this emotional connection to that smell. And to make sure that there is a great piece of advice. Look, if you need to know anything about short-term rentals, if you want to know how to be smarter with your short-term rentals, you don't have to wait for the book in February of 2025. Just reach out the amazing Avery Carl. She is an expert at the subject, topic, and expertise that can make you a lot of money, help a lot of people, and it's a lot of fun. Thanks, Avery, for joining me. I appreciate all your time and insight, helping us all make more money, help people, and have fun. We'll see you soon.
No, thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. Let's give her a big round of applause. This is David Meltzer with Entrepreneurs of Playbook.